Let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline as we bring in a great friend of the program, Anthony Gilbert. You can follow him on Twitter at AXGilbert. Of course, HoopMagNBA.com as well. Ant, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Tom, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm trying to make sense of everything here with this team, and I don't even know where to begin. Let's talk. What was your reaction when you saw the Ringer report come out? Let's start there.
Yeah, so my first thing was like, wow, this is uncharted waters. And I felt that whether he was guilty or innocent, he was going to be guilty, and there was going to be an example made. Because, you know, in the digital age, a lot of times things like this, this is new. We've never seen anything like this before. And they have to deter any other front office staff from ever trying to pull a move like this again. So he had to pay the price, whether he was guilty or innocent. I felt that he was guilty.
You say something that's interesting about deterring. And how do you do that outside of... I get it here. It's an isolated case of Brian Colangelo. His wife got found out. They lost their job. Do you think that's enough of a deterrent for other people? Because I imagine that Brian Colangelo, and you know, you cover the league, so I imagine BC's not the only one in the front office of any team with a burner account, but he might be the only one with a burner account, his wife having burner accounts, him telling his wife stuff, and his wife going out there and tweeting stuff.
Right. So, I mean, just being around teams, like, I used to work for the Knicks right out of college. Like, you find out stuff. You learn information. It's up to you who you talk to that information about, you know what I mean? So, but putting it on social media, man, that's just, it's just not smart, man. So there are plenty of front office staff, plenty around the league, around several leagues, you know, around the world. This happens. This is the day and age we live in. People have that, well, if I didn't post it, it didn't happen.
Right.
And I guess I'm too old for that mentality. But, I mean, that's – and Brian's too old for that mentality,
right,
too. But, you know, hey, everybody's different. And you made a point earlier, about an hour ago, and you said it was an addiction. And it is.
Yes.
It really is. It really is. And it affects different people different ways. We can joke about it. We can make light of it. But in other people's lives, it's a real serious thing.
Yeah, and I think that people are compelled to be on social media for different reasons. And when you break down the variables, yes, they're different, but the opening of the door is everybody's going through the same entry. If it's to post pics of your body on Instagram, if it's to post pics of your food on Facebook, if it's to argue politics on Twitter, or just post your article on Twitter, whatever it is, people get on Tumblr to write long form, right? People are constantly on social media. And I think what happened here, you're right, was she couldn't get enough of it. But isn't that crazy that Sixers fans, and I look at it, I don't look at it like cult. I look at it like the way in which Sam's departure happened. There were people here on social media that refused to let Sam's legacy die. And that ultimately undid Barbara and Brian.
Right. Yeah. I think it made them a lot less comfortable and welcome. And I feel like they may have had a big enough chip or boulder on them, on their shoulders, saying like, we really have to prove ourselves. And that's not the case. You know, at the end of the day, you do your job, you do it to the best of your ability, and your work should speak for yourself, especially at that senior level.
Right.
But, man, like, you know, hey, it's crazy. So, yes, it will. It will deter some people. There are some accounts that went silent once all this happened. But, you know, I think what it'll do is it'll just change things. You know, it will go forward. They're just on a different track now. Now it's like, okay, I shouldn't engage. Maybe I'll just continue to watch and monitor. And I don't really think that there's anything wrong with that.
Anthony Gilbert joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, NBA.com, Hoop Mag as well. Follow it on Twitter if you're not already, at AXGilbert. So looking at what happened the postseason here, specifically with the finals, I know we've been talking about it for day one, ever since the Sixers lose, and you're connected. You know, you hear things around the NBA. I looked at this from the outside, simply from, you know, 2 or 3 miles above the scenario, and said, all right, it's not about winning a championship anymore. It's about beating Golden State. If you can beat this team, you can beat anybody in the NBA 10 times over. This is the squad that they've assembled. So for LeBron, it actually might be easier to beat Golden State with a constructed team of your own in L.A. or simply going to Houston and forcing them to move like Eric Gordon, maybe even to Philadelphia, which is why, Ant, that's a long way around saying I don't think that he comes here, even though it's a serious contender of coming here.
I agree, because LeBron, there's two things on the table. LeBron definitely wants to win more championships, you know. He has three, but of course, you know, the world is telling him he's not so great. You know, you have more losses than, you know, anybody else in recent history. And I think that will definitely wear at him. But he's going to look at it like, okay, I need to win at least one more, maybe two. And then the other thing is his son is 14, his oldest son. And he definitely has a desire to play with him, kind of like Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. So, you know, LeBron Jr., could very well be in the league in 4 years, and LeBron wants to stick around. So he's going to pick the best possible place, be it Cleveland, which I don't think best possible for championship, best possible for family for sure, or Houston. I think Houston is a really good place because he'll join Chris Paul, his really good friend from the Banana Boat, and you know, they'll probably move Clint Capella and Ryan Anderson, and like you said, Eric Gordon, for sure.
So you think I know Ryan Anderson is the guy that definitely has to be moved, but do you think that they would keep Capella if they could move? I mean, technically, the money would allow them to keep him.
Yeah, but, you know, when LeBron comes to a team, we all know, like, he has to call some shots here. So.
Right. I mean, the team, right, true. So LeBron might be like, hey, Clint's got to go.
Right, money-wise. Clint works, you know, but maybe LeBron-wise, he doesn't work. And that's kind of the beauty of LeBron. He's kind of like, I don't know, he's like the evil super villain or something, you know? Like, he's going to come to planet Earth and he's going to take over. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy, man, because all the goodwill that he has established with the flip-floppers fans in the NBA and beyond, it was going to be wasted because he's going to leave Cleveland and people are going to be like, oh, you mercenary, you're going to go out there and chase the ring. Meanwhile, what were they watching? To your point, LeBron James Jr. is the third best player on the Cavs right now.
Yeah, man. And like Jalen Rose says, the third quarter Golden State Warriors are another NBA franchise within themselves.
Yes.
Because they are. They put on the show every third quarter, man. But, you know, I think LeBron did one thing that will define his career beyond the losing, beyond the philanthropy, and, you know, beyond the jumping ship several times. He won a championship in Cleveland, and that is his defining moment, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah. Hey, Ant, one more for you. Just looking at all the ball you've watched, and I know you go back, and I'm not trying to date you, but it's part of you being a seasoned vet in this game. I don't think that it's prisoner of the moment, and I know we always get caught in this, but I don't think this is prisoner of the moment to start talking about this team like we talk about any other team that dominated the NBA, meaning the Golden State Warriors should be in the discussion of one of the best teams that's ever been assembled in the history of the game.
I agree. You know, however they were assembled.
Right. Put that aside. All right, so where do you have them? And I don't mean to, like, rank them, but can you talk about them?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I think and I don't want to be a homer, but the 83 Sixers are one of the best teams ever. One of the best. And then I'd probably say the 87 Lakers. And then I'd probably put the 84 Celtics. The 89 Pistons, because that was before they got rid of Rick Mahorn.
Okay. I noticed you haven't got MJ yet.
No, well, you know, and you could definitely talk to Toot the Barber about how I feel about MJ. I love MJ. I respect him.
You don't have one of his squads up there?
If I had to pick a Jordan team, it'd probably be the 96 team. They were really tough. They beat, you know, the Supersonics.
They were really athletic.
And, yeah, they were legit. It was their finals to lose, and they lost. You know, which shows how great Michael Jordan was. You know, when younger people talk about Michael Jordan, they dilute him and they say that he was lesser than he was, but Michael stopped a lot of franchises and Hall of Fame players from winning. Mm. Stop it completely. So when you look at it like that, yes, I have to admit, I'll put the 96 Bulls with it because they were tough.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to get one in there. Yeah.
And they had a few mercenaries on their team.
Of course.
It happens. It's basketball. I remember when Mitch Richmond went to the Lakers and didn't play.
Right.
He has a ring.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's life in the NBA. I think LeBron is so good that he elevated that and amplifies it so much so that people are, he's jumping ship. Well, it's been happening since the beginning of time. And then I'd have to put probably that last Bill Russell team, which won the, I want to say, 1969 NBA Finals.
Yep.
Because they were supposed to lose. They were supposed to lose. And I think Jerry West was the MVP in a losing fashion. So, yeah. And I'm probably missing a team.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's fine. I just wanted to get it out there. Yeah. Listen, brother, I appreciate the time as always.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
You got it. Anthony Gilbert, Comcast Business Hotline. Follow Anthony on Twitter. He is a fantastic follow covering the NBA for HoopMag, NBA.com as well, @AXGilbert.